Hi, welcome back to the Aries Mishnah Yomis. My name is Jack Abramowitz, and yesterday I said that today we were going to conclude the seventh chapter and begin the eighth of Maseches Edios, but I was mistaken. In fact, there are two Mishnayos left in the seventh chapter, so today we will conclude Perek Zayin, and tomorrow we will begin Perek Ches. So, looking at the last two Mishnayos in Perek Zayin, Mishnayos Ches and Tes, Mishnah Ches tells us, Hey Menachem ben Signai, Amusaf Hayora, Shoshoke Zesim Shehutame. So Menachem ben Signai testified regarding the rim around the cauldron or pot that was used by people who boiled olives for a living. And he testified that this rim, which is made of ceramic, is susceptible to ritual impurity. Vishal Tzavoyim Shehutahor. But the similar rim that was on the cauldron used by people who dye clothes for a living, he testified that it is not susceptible to impurity. Shahayu Omrim Chiluf Hadvarim, because previously they thought it was the other way around. They thought that the one for dyers should be impure and the one for olive boilers should be pure. Let's take a look in the Bart Neuro, who will give us some reasons for this. Musaf Hayara Shoshoki Zesim, the rim around the pot used by those who boil olives. Derashoke Zesim Utsvoim, Yeshlehem Yoros Gedolos, Vosim Lehem Tosefis Tit Al Sfasa, Shiale Bohamayim Ba'es Resichasam. So it was the manner of those who boiled olives or who dyed clothes that they would have these big pots and they would make a clay or a ceramic rim around it so that the water shouldn't boil over when they heat it. And the rim on the pots used by the olive boilers would be susceptible to impurity. Because that is a necessary implement for the utensil, and they actually use it. And the Torah tells us about ovens and such. They shall be impure to you. And the word to you is interpreted. Any part of it that you need. Any piece of the utensil that is useful to you. And that you use. That's what can receive ritual impurity. Shal tzavoyim tahur, but the one used by dyers should be pure. She'ein tzavoyim mishtamshin, but also tosefes, lefi shiyurim shema yafsid tzvam. That the dyers wouldn't let the water reach that rim. There was no risk of overflow because they were afraid that their dye would spill and be lost. So the ones who boiled olives would let their water get to the point where the rim was necessary to keep it from overflowing, but the ones who dyed for a living would not. So it wasn't used by them. And how does Menachem know this? The Tosfos Yontif tells us, Menachem haya tzava v'haya baki b'inyan. He was a professional dyer. This is what he did for a living, and he was aware of these matters, and they took his word as an expert in the field. Mishnah Tes. Heid Rabbi Nechunya ben Gudgada. So Rabbi Nechunya ben Gudgada testified, Al hachereshes shehisiya aviha, regarding a girl who's a deaf-mute, whose father married her off, shehiyotza beget, that she is divorced by giving her a bill of divorce just like any other woman. You give her a get, and she's divorced, even though, as a person who was born deaf-mute and lacks the ability to communicate, has no legal consent, nevertheless, she's divorced in the normal manner. V'yakatana bas Yisrael sheniseis l'kohen, and on a minor, who is the daughter of an Israelite who marries a kohen, shehi ocheles b'truma, that she's allowed to eat truma, V'immesa bala yarsha, and if she dies, her husband inherits her. So even though the marriage is only effective rabbinically, we're not concerned to prevent her from eating truma or for it to affect inheritance rights. V'alhamarsha gazel shebeno b'bira, and regarding a stolen beam that was built into a building, sheyitein es damav, that the thief only has to pay the value of the beam. He doesn't have to return the beam itself. V'al hachatas ha-gezula, and regarding a carbon chatas, a sin offering that was stolen, shlo noda l'rabim, and it's not publicly known that it was stolen, shehi mechaperes, that nevertheless it's accepted as a sacrifice, it works to atone for the one who stole it, mimnei tikun ha-mizbeach, in order to serve the mizbeach, the altar of the temple, and we'll see in Bart Neuro momentarily what that means. So what are these things that Rabbi Nechunya testified about? So the first is al chereshes shehasiya aviha, so a girl who's born deaf-mute and her father marries her off. Avogav dahavi eshes ish gemura, even though she's completely married, it's a totally effective marriage. Shahari kibal aviha kedushin kishehi katana, because her father accepted kedushin on her behalf when she was a minor, so that's a Torah effective method. Afilu hachi yotzas beget, nevertheless, she is divorced with a get, umekabelas es gita kishehi chereshes, and she accepts the get even though she's a deaf mute. Vafal pi she'ein lo das, and she doesn't have the ability to give consent. Lefisha ha'isha miskareshes balkarcha, because a woman can be divorced against her will. Hilkach lo be'inan daita, therefore she doesn't need to give consent. So the fact that under law she's not able to give consent is immaterial here, because being divorced does not require consent. The second thing is akatana bas Yisrael she niseis lekohen. It's a minor, the daughter of an Israelite who is married to a kohen. V'hi yisoma, and she's an orphan. She has no father. D'lo hayu nesuin elamid rabbanan. So her marriage that the mother and brothers perform on her behalf is only effective rabbinically. So he testifies she'acheles b'truma, that she may eat truma d'rabbanan according to rabbinic law. V'lo gazrinan truma d'rabbanan atu truma d'iraisa. And we do not make a rule about d'rabbanan truma out of fear for d'iraisa, biblical level truma. So now the person who stole the beam and built it into a house only has to return the value of the beam, not the beam itself. Here's a clause that is not in our Mishnah. It made to kanas hashavim for the sake of those who would repent. Shema ta matzrihu lakaka biraso ulahakzir marish atzmo. If you would require him to demolish his house in order to return the actual beam, yimim milasos tshuva, he wouldn't do tshuva. Most people are not so repentant that they're willing to knock down a house specifically to return a stolen beam. So you're going to get no action. So at least this way, the person who was the victim of the theft gets reimbursed. So they made this law because it benefits everyone. Otherwise, nothing will happen. Similarly, the case of somebody who stole an animal and used it for a sin offering, they said that it does atone for him. You might think it shouldn't, but this was because mipnei tikkun hamizbeach, for the sake of the altar. Shloyu kahanim atzavim she'achlu chulin she'nishchatu ba'azara. So we have a problem that if the sacrifice is not effective, then the kohanim would be eating non-sacrificial meat in the temple courtyard, and that's not permitted. So if they don't know for a fact that it's not stolen, they might refuse to do such a thing. And therefore the altar would be idle because the kohanim would refuse to do it out of fear that they would violate this prohibition. So the rabbi said, if it's not known to be stolen, then you can count it and it works, and the kohen doesn't have to be afraid that his sacrifice will lead him to eat non-sacrificial meat in the temple courtyard. Okay, that's the end of Perek Zion. Join us tomorrow and we will begin Perek Ches.